some notes. If I can have a few men help me pass them out, that would be really nice. Thank you, sir. Oh, that's right. We had other, we don't need four. Jim, thank you, though. Matthew chapter 1, we have, Johnny R. Where's your wife? Is she in the nursery with the baby? Or not to hear me preach, whichever the case might be. You have to understand, John Reiner comes to our church every couple months. In case you haven't figured out, I am never here when he's here. And I don't plan it ever. John, it's good to see you. Ooh, good to see you and your family. And the princess, where'd the princess go? There's the, with a favorite aunt. Poor girl. Of course, the princess is not young anymore. How old is she, John? 9 years old. Wow. Louis can't read, so he doesn't need any. Everybody has some notes. Let's stand, please. Cliff, do me a favor and bring me one up, please. Just so low. I have all the notes, but I just in case yours are different. We're going to read exactly the same passage we read this morning. Did I say that this morning? We're going to talk about the things we didn't talk about this morning. This morning's message was the important one. Tonight is more informational. If I can get moving, we'll be done soon. A miracle might occur. You're going to pick up on that in about point three. Matthew chapter 1, please, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or was in this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Very interestingly, it's very vague because the Bible does not state a physical way that this happened. In Greek, it's vague on purpose because if you know anything about the ancient world, there were lots of people that said their dad was a god. And sometimes it became very crude. So the Greek is kind of generic. It doesn't say how this miracle occurred, other than, look at me, it wasn't physical. Do I need to say anything more? It wasn't like a husband and a wife. It was a miracle. So it's stated, even in the King James, kind of abstractly, not because if you know anything about all these people claimed that the God was their father or something. Alexander did, many of them. Anyhow, let's continue. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded, or in, he basically, you have the two different Greek words for will. One of them is, you know, he didn't desire this to happen. Instead, he purposed for something else to happen, which was that she would be put away or divorced privately, and beyond privately, quietly and kindly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a what? I called a friend of mine and I asked him a simple question. I said, I'm preparing to preach through Matthew. The word dream is only found in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's found in this text over and over and over. And I said, I want to ask you a question. Did you mention the word dream or preach a sermon on dreams when you preached through Matthew? And his answer was, no. Because you as a Baptist just skip that. We're skipping it tonight too. But I'll come back to it. Because friend, once you run into Christians that believe their dreams say something, it'll happen to you. And you'll be sitting around going, what does that mean? Well, all right, we continue. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her again, very vaguely, is of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou, you, Joseph, shall name him, because naming someone was very important. You're going to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord, by the Lord through the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being, and I said it this morning, if you want to mark the division between Christians, some Christians learn something and do it immediately. Some Christians never learn anything and never do anything. This text is just, you learn something, you do it. By the way, friend, do me a favor. For you in this church, read chapter 2. Read about dreams. Every time dream is mentioned, they're being warned by God. And when they wake up, they obey exactly what they're supposed to do. This isn't, God gave me a dream that I'm going to be a millionaire. Excuse me, charismatic foolishness. Verse 24. So Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and the third concept, knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So when he woke up, he did exactly what he was told to do. He first of all did what the angel said. He second of all took her as wife. He third of all restrained himself and did not know her until Jesus was born. And he called or named him exactly what the angel said to name him. Tonight, we're not going to talk about Joseph and his crisis. We're going to talk about Joseph and miracles. Father, help me as I try to prepare. My heart has been thinking about this, and I prepared this as well as I know how. Tonight's message is so different than this morning, with very different purposes. Don't desire to upset anybody's apple cart. Just want us to think about miracles, and specifically in relationship to this unbelievable miracle, a virgin birth. Help me, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It was a long time ago before Pastor Kowak was a school administrator. What year did you become school administrator? Was it that long ago? 2001. A young lady said she needed to talk to me during school hours. She came to my office up here. I invited her in the office. She came in. I knew something was wrong. She kind of bowed her head, and she kind of blabbed out these two words. Three words, but it's two words. She said, I'm pregnant. Now, as a man, a pastor, a father, grandfather now, I was shocked, hurt, disappointed, trying to put all this stuff together. Thinking, here's a teenage girl that's going to have a baby. Is that a good thing? I asked you a question. Is that a good thing? Almost never in the modern age. I thought this question. She's going to be a teenager and be a mother. Then I thought, well, who's the dad? And then I started thinking, and she's saying things, and I frankly wasn't listening. Because as a man and as a pastor, you know, you've seen a few people ruin their lives. So I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, she's going to start her life with all the complexity and the messiness and the difficulties. She's almost going to have an impossible life right out of the gates, so to speak. And then she said to me, and I've never had sex with a man. what would you say? Well, I will tell you what I said, but it took me a while. You know, I can usually be professional. I worked in a hospital setting, worked in a laboratory. I mean, sorry, folks, I will say this very kindly. I can do an autopsy while eating lunch. Wouldn't bother me a bit. My wife doesn't ever want to be around me when I talk medical stuff, because stuff doesn't bother me. When you do it every day of your life, it's just what you do. But I will say that discombobulated me a little bit when she said, I haven't been with a man. She was telling the truth. She'd actually been with 7 different ones, but it was close. Now I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask 2 questions. Number one, do you believe in the virgin birth? Yes or no? Secondly, do you believe there will be another virgin birth? Why? Yeah, but if there's one, with God all things are possible. We're going to talk about Joseph and miracles. I can't get people's mind around this, how shocking this would have been to any normal human. And I'm not thinking any man would have said, yeah, sweetheart, I believe you. I believe you. Yikes. Let's look at some real basic thoughts. And these are real basic thoughts about Joseph. And I would say Joseph and all believers at this period of time. What do we know? First of all, Joseph believed God worked, even miraculously. I say the text doesn't state this, but the entire Bible assumes this. I mean, it just, if you're a believer, by very nature of being a believer, you kind of believe that God works and can even do things that are miraculous. I say the very nature of becoming and being a believer, I think, demands this. In the beginning, God. I mean, friends, if you have a God that created the heavens and the earth and the universe, and our God stands outside of that, then we would assume that he not only created it and controls it, he's able to interact in it. So we believe in a virgin birth, do we not? We believe in miracles. Joseph would have too. Let's make it so I don't get the same 3 people sleeping tonight. Let's do something real simple. Let's ask a pointed question. I don't want to be impersonal. I got Steve Tupper right back here. His mother is in a, what do you call it, nursing home? How's she doing? Not good. She's suffering from Alzheimer's or something to that effect. Does she know you all the time, Steve? So folks, please look at me. Drop your religion and your foolishness. Stay awake for a change. Let's ask a question. Should you pray that Jesse Tupper miraculously pops back to a 30-year-old body? Stop. Brother Mike caused me to think of this. We have another person, usually sits over here, hadn't been here now in 5 weeks. She's 39 years old. Her name is, well, I call her Zeben. Her real name is Veben. Veben Vifonzi. Since she was 17, she has MS. MS is a degenerative disease that gets better or worse. Should you pray that God arrests that and stops the process or progress? Do you understand what we're talking about tonight is not silly goose stuff? It affects how you pray. It affects if you pray. I think some of us never pray because we don't expect much of God. So this whole discussion about miracles starts getting right down where we live. I remember when Mr. Losey got really, really bad. Tim and I went over. You remember, Tim, we went over a couple of times, and he was in terrible condition. What am I supposed to do, pray that Mr. Losey gets a young body? So you say, wait a minute. I talked to a guy that his wife has divorced him, left him, said she doesn't love him, mistreated him for 3 decades. One person in this room knows exactly who I'm talking about, and he would not let her go. She hated his guts the entire marriage, mistreated him as badly as anybody I've ever seen be mistreated. But he said, but with all God, all things are possible. See, you have to figure out, how are you going to pray? Are you going to pray? What do you pray for? Let's continue.
Number two,
Joseph believed God worked what? Do you believe this? Do you believe God works in answer to prayer? Seriously. How much have you prayed for Zeban? By the way, I don't know that we can pray that God, what we could pray, is God going to totally remove Zeban's MS? If you go to a charismatic church, they'll tell you yes. And they'll have people prophesy over you and lay hands on you, and you still die from MS, but people did all their religion. What should you pray for? And by the way, folks, if Zeban got over MS, she's still going to die. Because in the very beginning, God said, in the day you eat of this, thou shalt surely. We don't escape death until the Lord returns. These are hard subjects. But I like to think that God can move and work. Jeremiah 31. I put the preceding verses because I think they're just as important. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of prison. Is this a good place to be? And it says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou what? Knowest not. Folks, he tells Jeremiah in a horrible circumstance in prison that I will answer your prayers, and I will do things that you wouldn't even think I would do. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now unto him, Paul says, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, please look up here. I got Steve's mother not doing well. My wife's mother is not exactly percolating. She'll be 93 next month. She's suffering from some form of dementia, Alzheimer's. I got a mother, Lord willing, coming up here next Saturday. She'll be 88 her next birthday. She's not a child. What are we supposed to pray for them? See, I think some of us never think about anything. And we're so disappointed in God. By the way, folks, God is not going to reverse the curse for anybody. There's only been one resurrection. I think that was called Jesus. So you have to be real careful about, do I pray for this, not pray for this? I love my mother. I pray for my mother. I would love to see my mother have many more years. I always kid her. I say, Mom, I don't think anybody in your family's made it to 100. A lot of them made it into their 90s. I say, you should be the first. And you know what her answer always is? I don't want to live that long. I say, Mom, I don't like that answer. Number three, Joseph also knew, and here's where we run into the rub. He knew what a miracle was and wasn't. I think, friend, one of our problems is sometimes we don't know what a miracle is and what it isn't. Do you know what I'm saying there? Frenchie picked up on this. He looked at the notes. I'll get to it in a moment. Americans are well known internationally for lots of bad habits. One of Americans' worst habits is we don't know how to take our language and bring it down. We use hyperbole. It's a miracle! And you're like, whoa, what happened? You got a parking place close to Walmart. Well, if you were getting a miracle, you'd get the parking place 3 miles from Walmart so you could walk. Oh, it's a miracle, Pastor Warren. I was in line, and I got through the line really quickly at McDonald's. I don't think that's what a miracle is, do you? But I think we use that kind of language. Let's read the text together, please. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. I say in your notes, Joseph didn't have a PhD in biology. He probably didn't know what DNA is. My guess is 2/3 of the people in this room have no idea what DNA is. How many chromosomes do you have? How many do you share between the two? You say, well, I've heard of those someplace back in the Dark Ages. You better have a better answer because you're supposed to be in nursing school. By the way, friend, we know about do we really understand them? Do you think Joseph knew any of this? But let me ask, do you think he was stupid? I don't think so. In your notes. He didn't have a PhD in biology. He didn't know about DNA or chromosomes. I'm guessing he wasn't an expert on human anatomy. But he understood, how about this, simple things. Mary, you know, Mary, a woman, pregnant. By the way, how do people get pregnant? Look, this is how you get pregnant. You share ice water. Ooh. No, you don't. You get pregnant how many ways? No, the girl told me, Pastor Warren, I haven't been with a man. Well, when I got to the truth, it was actually with 7 different guys. In your notes, I think Joseph was a pretty typical guy. He understood Mary, he understood pregnant, and he understood it was not by me. And by the way, if it's not by me, who is it by? Yes. In your notes, the virgin birth is not on the table. He's not thinking miracle. But friend, when you talk to Christians, we don't know how to use language biblically. So it's like, Pastor, it's a miracle. And you're like, you got a job as a miracle? Were they looking for you to, you know, come on. Dude, you got to take the language and bring it down to where we live. I think Joseph looked at this and said, oh boy, I got this woman that I'm marrying. She's pregnant. I'm not the dad. I'm not thinking virgin birth. What was he thinking? What's the D stand for? Divorce. Let me ask you a question. Would you not think the same thing? I'm going to hurry because I don't want to get sidetracked on happenings, especially in Thailand. You wouldn't be interested. Next, he also thought divorce quietly and privately. And that's a beautiful thing we talked about a little bit this morning. But I say in your notes, I believe that Christians struggle mightily with miracles and the miraculous. And folks, I don't care what you put in your notes. Please look up here. Do me a favor. Don't put anything in your notes. How about that? Drop your notes and actually grab the ideas. I think there's most of us in this room, including me. I have a few people here that encourage me by what they say. Mike Hall does. He says things sometimes that convicts me that I need. Because Mike, he prays more than me, I think. And sometimes he'll say something and it'll just like, yeah, I got to get back to asking God. But I think we struggle in a pendulum fashion. And look at me. I don't mean TikTok. I mean, on one extreme, well, let me see what I wrote. I want to put it how I wrote it. On one extreme, everything is a miracle. God can do it. Then comes reality. You've been married for 30 years, and you realize your spouse is never going to do right. And what do? Well, I see it with both men and women. You know, there comes a part, friend, and I think about marriage, children, and you have this opinion, God can do it! And then what? After a point, something pops the balloon and whew, we go from everything is a miracle to there are no miracles. And I think actually we do that in our own life. How do I know this? I've seen God change people in amazing ways. And then I look at other people and wonder, why has God never done anything with that person? They're doing the same stupid thing over and over. Isn't there a Holy Spirit on the inside that changes them? Nope. And as a pastor, you go from this to this. And I'm going to say this. You don't have to like to hear it. Many pastors I talk to are very cynical about people because they've seen people in all their puffery. But when you watch a person over a decade or two and you wonder, when are they going to get their marriage fixed? Why can't this woman learn to obey God or this man? Isn't the Holy Spirit indwelling them? Isn't the Holy Spirit leading them? Why do they have the same problems 30 years later? And that's when we go from God can do it to cynicism. Do you understand the pendulum? Can I ask you a question? Don't say, where are you at? I've already said this. Some of our problem is a very American problem with hyperbole, overstatement, effusive. Do you know what effusive means? You can't eat a sandwich without saying, that's the greatest sandwich I ever ate. Oh, good grief, friend. It's a piece of meat between pieces of bread. Now, for all of you, everybody needs to take a breath because I have to make this personal and specific. Recently, I heard someone in a public gathering connected to our school say to boys, sorry, I shouldn't have to say this. The boy came up and he said, he's awesome. Nick's boy came up. He's awesome. Every boy was, do you understand when every boy is awesome? None of them are awesome. We have such filthy language in our, we cannot restrain our language. Therefore, we don't know how to pray. We use God talk. Yes! But in our heart of hearts, we have no hope that God can change anything. Here's the tragedy. I think Joseph, look at me, knew what a miracle was and what it wasn't. Better be careful about your language. Do I expect a miracle from my mother-in-law? Yes, one day she'll go home to be with the Lord. Do I expect a miracle from my mother? Yes, one day she'll go home with be with the Lord. Maybe the rapture happens tonight and we meet her in the air. Do I expect her to be 16 again? Healed! Well, how do you get healed of old age? She's almost 88. Do you understand? You have to know what a miracle is and what it isn't. And quit using the kind of language that we use. Do you understand that British people don't use this kind of language? This is a specific American habit? I'm guessing you don't. They make fun of us. We go to McDonald's. It was the best meal I ever ate. Okay. Number four. Joseph wasn't expecting a miracle. Is that true? Next page. I'm not going to read the Joseph part. I want us to go real quickly. We'll just read the Mary story. By the way, friend, just so you know, Mary wasn't expecting a miracle either. You know, folks, these weren't some gullible charismatic Christians. Forgive me. These weren't some charismatics from the backwoods that handled snakes that just said, yeah, God's doing a miracle tonight. We're getting a virgin birth. Nobody believed this. In your notes, Luke chapter 1. The sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin, he keeps repeating that, espoused, the same thing as Matthew says, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin, just to remind you, she was a virgin's name was what? Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And her first reply is, what are you talking about? Is that what it says? It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. And old English, she cast in her mind, she's like, huh? What is this greeting you're giving me? Then the angel replies. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. I love that phrase. For thou hast found favor with God. That's that grace concept. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, And he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And by the way, friend, that hasn't yet happened. That's called the millennium. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, Lord, we have a problem. I'm a virgin. How am I having a child? See, there are people that believe that people like us are rational. Baptists are rational. They don't believe in the Spirit. Look at me, friend. Neither did Mary. Neither did Joseph. We don't believe in virgin birth miracles, except one time. We'll get to that in the next point. Mary's like, huh? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called what? By the way, friend, there's only been one virgin birth, but were there miraculous births in the Bible? So let me ask you, if you cannot get pregnant, is it appropriate to pray and ask God to do something? Yes, it is. Does God do things pretty amazingly? Yes, he can. Virgin births? No. But there's a whole line of women. You know the women. Starts with Sarah, goes all the way through. The women that couldn't get pregnant, that God gave a child. They're in this whole lineage. So when Mary came to this, part of her comfort, not that she understood the virgin birth, part of it was, well, you know, your cousin Elizabeth's an old woman. She used to be called barren. She now has a child. God has done something, I would even say, miraculous. Just not of the same miraculous order as the virgin birth. So, number four, Joseph wasn't expecting a miracle, and frankly, neither was Mary. Number five. You can use whatever language you use. The word that I would use is forced. Joseph was forced to accept this miracle. I think some people are more comfortable with the word persuaded. That is okay. But in one way or another, Joseph came to the place where he realized this is something that God is doing. This is truly a miracle. This is truly a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-forever happening. So in verse 20 it says, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, notice the same language. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Doesn't explain it. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou, you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Obviously the name Jesus in English related back to the word Joshua, which comes from the word we get salvation, Yeshua. It has that idea of salvation being rooted in that name. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We'll conclude the sermon tonight with these simple statements. Joseph was either forced or persuaded, whatever term you prefer, to accept this miracle in this sense. By the way, friend, he wasn't praying for this. He wasn't, and let me just say this, too many Christians pray for all the wrong things anyhow. We pray for jobs, money, all the stuff that really is what the worldling people do, unsaved people. Nothing wrong with a job, nothing wrong with money, but much of the charismatic world is filled with money. Money, money. As a Christian, we pray for other things, but he wasn't really praying for this. He didn't even expect it. It was somewhat forced upon him. How so? In your notes. And I don't understand this. This has never happened to me. But we begin with the angel of the Lord. I don't know what that means, but in some way an angel spoke to him. Secondly, this lovely Latin phrase, sui generis. Pachungai knows what that word means, don't you, Pachungai? Because I've called you that name before, sui generis. By the way, folks, what sui generis mean? It's a very important Latin phrase. One of a kind. When this miracle happened, Joseph and Mary knew what? This is a miracle like no other miracle. They knew that. Sui generis. So was, look at me, when Joseph had more children, was he expecting another virgin birth? This was like, what? This is one time. Sui generis. Pandoc, you know I have called you this before. Because I say you are very unique. You're one of a kind. You're the only person I know like you. Next. He was not expecting a miracle. And actually, he didn't expect a miracle after this. Look at Matthew 1, verse 24. There's something here that I want you to notice, and we've already said it, but it's kind of interesting. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and he knew her what? Not for how long? Till what? She had brought forth her what? So here's what's interesting. Joseph was forced to realize this was a miracle, like no other miracle. But he didn't expect when the next children, by the way, he did not know her until her first. Now, let's do some English. There's two kinds of numbers. Cardinal numbers. One, say them with me, one, three, four, five. Then there's ordinal numbers. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. Firstborn is what kind of a number? It orders. First, second, and third. Did they have other children? If first means anything, the answer is yes. Were they miracles? Here's our problem. Babies born, we'll say, it's a miracle. Well, in some ways, it is unbelievable. Is it a miracle? Answer the question. It's a naturally occurring event. It's the way God ordained things. Now, sometimes I think it's a miracle. The princess is so much better looking than her father. That's a miracle. John, no amen? Yeah, I thought so. All right, so look at this. Let's go down and finish this up. You have the angel of the Lord. You have something that is one of a kind by means of the Holy Spirit. You have, secondly, not expecting a miracle. And underneath the verses, I say, the other children would come via a normal process. Otherwise, it would come by Joseph knowing Mary. Kind of the normal process. So Joseph didn't say, "Woo! Now, a miracle a minute." No, it was, this was the one and only virgin birth ever. And in this process, he recognized it because he was forced to, but he didn't expect it to happen again. So when the other children were born, they were born the old-fashioned way, the way things normally transpire. Next, there's also this concept of messianic expectation. Messianic expectation. The angel said to Joseph, what? You shall call his name what? My friend, the Jewish people were expecting whom? So all of this comes together for Joseph. All of a sudden, he realizes something unique is happening once forever. He recognizes this is not the way things are going to continue. And he recognizes by the name he is supposed to call his own firstborn son, this is the Messiah. This is the one who takes away the sins of his people. So my friend, let me just say this to you. I don't want to get anybody mad at me. Do you recognize you're very important, but you're not as important as this event? You see, if this event doesn't happen, we all have no hope. This event is very important. Sometimes Christians get in their little world thinking, I'm the center of the universe. I saw Danny DeVito, actor, comedian, say one time, funniest thing I ever heard. He says, how many actors does it take to screw in a light bulb? He said, just one. The actor holds the light bulb and the entire universe screws it in. I know some of you didn't get the joke. Because the universe revolves around me. Folks, the universe revolves around God and His plans and His purposes. And may I say this? God has purposes for you. Praise the Lord. He has purposes for me. Emily, I'm happy. E2, I'm so happy that you guys are going to have is it twins? Oh, you don't know. I'm so happy that you're going to have a baby soon. I'm excited about all the babies coming. But may I say this to everybody? These are beautiful, wonderful, miracle. Call me 3 months into this when the baby's crying all night and tell me if it's a miracle, please. It's beautiful. I have a grandson. I have four of them. I like all four. And I love it when Amy takes that grandson home when he's cranky. But anyhow, we're going to finish up. Do you understand, everybody? Messianic expectation. All of this is coming together. Look at the text. These are from Luke. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, and he was waiting. He was the man looking forward, waiting for this messianic expectation, the consolation of Israel. At the same time, there was a woman named Anna. She came coming in, instant giving thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him, about him, to everybody that looked for what? There was this messianic expectation in the air. So Joseph, he didn't expect it. Let me say, friend. He didn't expect a miracle a minute. Do you realize if you have a miracle every day, it's no longer a miracle? A miracle, by definition, is something that's very rare. Joseph, though, knew this was the great miracle because all of these things started clicking. Ah, they all start fitting together. The concept of the angel of the Lord, the one of a kind birth. Not expecting this to happen in the future or even then. Messianic expectations. And lastly, it comes down to when they found out about the biblical prophecy. Oh, I think, like any of us, it took Joseph a while. But Joseph had the character, as I said this morning, to slow things down, to think. And when he came out, he realized he had the privilege of being part of something that was absolutely unique. Everyone look at me and we're done. You ready? I got a lot more to say about the miraculous. I might do another one of these on Sunday night. Can I say this? Until you and I have a grip of this, we're going to be one of two people. We're going to be talking miracles and living in reality, talking this, going from this to this. And you know how you know when you're here? You no longer pray for God to even intervene. You're not even really, listen, I would be interested to know how many of you spent 5 minutes in the last week just asking God for Zeban to get better. My guess is not many. Because in our heart of hearts, we talk about miracles in the Bible back then, but we've come over to here because we're using language wrong. Can God stop, hinder, arrest a disease state? Yes. Seen it many times. Does God stop the process of death? Even if God was suddenly to give you a new body, you're still going to die. Get yourself in control of what the Bible says about miracles. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time.